Next on The Californians.
There's a breathtaking spot in this great land of ours where the mountains descend to the sea in more wondrous beauty than words can express. And my loved one did wait there for me.
They don't know you.
And now for news of our own West Coast, we take you to
Los Angeles, Los Angeles, Los Angeles, Los Angeles, Los Angeles, Los Angeles. You don't need that love.
Los Angeles, Los Angeles. Hey. Good morning, everyone. 5:04 a.m. Yes, it is. April 22nd. I feel like we're just talking about January. This is weird, right? Weird. April 22nd, 2018, Sunday morning with Elizabeth Espinosa, KFI AM 640, iHeartRadio. Don't forget, we are on all social media platforms as well that you can, check in with us. Instagram is at Elizabeth Espinosa, Twitter at @E_Espinosa. Wow. I think we've played a few stories for you already here about Barbara Bush, but what a loss, what a life, what a legacy. We'll talk a little bit more about that. But we do want to get into really quick here a big story that happened out here in Southern California, or I should say California, really, last week. Lawmakers, that's right, they actually are they're doing something. It's always nice to see when they get to work. Well, they really did make a big push, real big push on Thursday. The California Assembly voted to add gay conversion therapy. Remember we've talked about this on the show? Gay conversion therapy, basically this type of therapy where they believe that they can basically therapy your gayness out of you. That's bizarre. Just so crazy. And, there is a very vocal assemblyman, Evan Lowe. He's a Democrat from Campbell, which is up north, by the way, who basically went on the record, was very vocal and said it's harmful, it's unnecessary. And of course, some people think that you can pray someone's gayness away. Not exactly the case. But it's incredible that now what this has done is it's moving this, putting it on the gay conversion therapy. It's putting it on the list of deceptive business practices so that it would become illegal, which is really an incredible move. And remember we had an author, someone who experienced gay conversion therapy on the show. So we thought we'd talk to him and ask him a little bit about this huge move here in California. Peter Gajdic, the author of Inheritance of Shame. Peter, good morning. Welcome back to Sunday Morning with Elizabeth Espinosa.
Hi, Elizabeth. Thanks so much for calling me.
Absolutely. So, I mean, this is really huge. I know we talked about it because your book really gets into that discussion of, gay conversion therapy. Once again, if we reset what that is and what you experienced, if you could summarize, I know there's a lot to it, but in essence, what was that like for you?
It was hugely traumatic. For me, it went on 6 years, and it was all conversion therapies, including the one I was in, are founded on some sort of version of the lie that says to be gay or, trans is somehow a brokenness, a sin or a deviation, and you need to cure it or correct it. My psychiatrist, for me, it was not a pray away the gay. It was secular. I was with a psychiatrist, and he told me that, childhood sexual abuse had created, so to speak, my homosexuality, and so we needed to undo, in his words, my homosexuality, and I would therefore return to heterosexuality. It sounds completely bizarre out of the box, but when you're distressed, as anyone in therapy is, gay, straight, trans, period, you believe things your therapist, people in positions of power, are telling you, and you're off to the races. And so for me, with this doctor, he prescribed enormous amounts of psychiatric medication, which ultimately led to a medication-induced breakdown. He used aversion therapy. He used injections of ketamine hydrochloride while he was trying to reparent me as a, in his words, a healthy father figure. Obviously, that's laughable. But again, I was young, although I was an adult, in this law in California, what I think is so great about it is it's going to make these types of treatments illegal and inaccessible for adults. And so in California, you have a law already for minors.
Right.
But, it's not only minors who are vulnerable to these things. In fact, minors are often probably put into these treatments by their parents. But when you're an adult, you might obviously still be confused.
In the closet, right? I mean, there are a lot of people that don't come out until they're an adult. And as you said, California law bans the use of conversion therapy by mental health professionals for those under age 18, but doesn't protect adults.
Exactly. But, you know, when you get down splitting hairs, what can happen is somebody enters therapy not to try to change their sexual orientation or gender. For me, I didn't enter therapy. This was not a advertised conversion therapy. I entered therapy for lots of emotional reasons, as anyone does when they go to seek counseling. And then you're presented, as I was, with a therapist with antiquated theories and subversively takes you down a dangerous road. And again, you're vulnerable, you're impressionable, and this is when it can be hazardous. And so for adults, you know, you're always at the risk of this when you go to seek counseling of some sort. And so when it's preventable in some way, like with this law, but it's also important to still be changing hearts through education, because laws aren't going to prevent occurrences of this every time.
Exactly.
People who are in positions of power also need to be educated so they themselves are not going to use these theories. I mean, there was a case in Canada recently, a psychiatrist lost his practice in Ontario from doing these types of things. So again, this is secular, not these pray away the gay.
Right, because that exists. I mean, there is a religious component. In fact, some of those who in the assembly expressed some concern about the bill were trying to address what they felt was a difficult issue, which is they want to ensure that laws don't tamper with religious freedom, right? Freedom of speech, freedom of religion.
Yeah, I find that abhorrent. When I hear people talk about freedom of religion, I mean, you wouldn't hear this argument in Canada, for instance, where I live. Since when does religion advocate cruelty toward people? I mean, I don't get that.
No.
I don't get that. People, to me, people hide behind this notion of religion so that they can perpetuate their own biases, their own prejudices, their own immorality, as far as I'm concerned, because it causes enormous distress and prolonged trauma to these people to go through these. And these are not therapies. Let's just be very clear. I mean, therapy is meant to help and to heal people. These are just torture chambers. That's what these are.
Well, and I think you're right. When you think about people who hide behind the religious excuse, I think of ISIS. I think of so many awful groups in the world that have taken advantage of that. And I think it's exactly it. You know, if it's something about related to the spiritual part of things, it should be about your kindness and greatness and how do we help people and not hurt them. And I do think even when people talk about praying away your gayness, it's like, how do you change something that, you didn't choose? You can't change what you never chose.
Exactly. And even, you know, when we laugh about this idea of pray away the gay, you know, this is still extremely traumatic because all of these therapies, including these pray away the gays, are based on shaming people. And shame, as we know, for anyone who's shamed, if they're different in some way, children who are shamed on the playground, I mean, it causes depression. It causes
so many things. Absolutely. Yeah. And I know that you had attempted suicide a few times, and I appreciate you for being so vocal and sharing that. We are up against the clock, but I want everyone to know that your book is Inheritance of Shame. Peter Gajdic, thank you so much for joining us, and we will certainly stay in touch with whatever happens with this bill here in California, okay? Thank you so much.
Good luck. Thank you.
Thank you. Sunday morning with Elizabeth Espinosa, KFI AM 640. We're going to go into the newsroom, but let me say this. When we come back, we're going to talk about your privacy with an incredible IT expert. I'm so excited.
Take a seat right over there. Sat on the stairs, stay or leave. The cabinets are bare, and I'm unaware of just how we got into this mess. Got so aggressive. I know we meant all good intentions. So pull me closer. Why don't you pull me close? Why don't you come on over? I can't just let you go.
Here you go.
Oh, baby.
Why does Facebook tell my story all the time?
Just kidding. All right, KFI AM 640. I'm not singing anymore, I know. Sunday morning with Elizabeth Espinosa. Well, that was a really great conversation about conversion, gay conversion therapy we're just talking about with author Gajdic. So if you missed it, you've got to go to our podcast and check that out. But we also have a great conversation here going about your privacy. Who's on Facebook? Raise your hands. Oh, I'm sure all of you did right now. Yes, this is how we connect these days. And social media is big. Well, who is the giant in all this? Facebook, right? Mark Zuckerberg. Did you guys know Mark Zuckerberg is only 33? Holy smokes. billionaire status at 33, and the grilling he took from senators was impressive, but he handled it so well that I thought, and I knew, this guy, number one, he's got the capital, so he can do this, but how many mock trials did he go through that he handled it like a pro? He knew exactly how to answer, and in fact, some of the senators who are, you know, legally trained and are lawyers by training, were able to catch him on certain things by saying, so, wait, Mark, you said generally, so what specifically do you mean by answering generally? It was great. However, he still, even though he got called on the carpet for how basically Facebook has failed to protect personal data of you, me, it continues. And you know what's crazy is that after that grilling by many senators, people are still on Facebook, hasn't affected their user status or, you know, how many people log on or decided to discontinue their accounts. So we thought we'd get into this conversation about privacy, your privacy. I mean, this is the world that we're entering. It's a digital space. And you need to understand what this means for you, how Facebook isn't exactly free. It comes at a price. Now, in case you missed it, it happened probably, you know, what was it, like 2 weeks ago now? But Senator Kamala Harris, as you know, is from California. And even though she's in the Bay Area and would be considered friendly to Mark Zuckerberg, she went after him on your behalf. Listen to this.
That's in violation of our terms.
Correct. And were you a part of a decision? Were you part of a discussion that resulted in a decision not to inform your users?
I don't remember a conversation like that. But the reason why...
Are you aware of anyone in leadership at Facebook who was in a conversation where a decision was made not to inform your users, or do you believe no such conversation ever took place?
I'm not sure whether there was a conversation about that, but I can tell you the thought process at the time of the company, which was that in 2015, when we heard about this, we banned the developer and we demanded that they delete all the data and stop using it. And same with Cambridge Analytica.
Testimony in that regard, but I'm talking about notification of the users. And this relates to the issue of transparency and the relationship of trust, informing the user about what you know in terms of how their personal information has been misused. And I'm also concerned that when you personally became aware of this, did you or senior leadership do an inquiry to find out who at Facebook had this information, and did they not have a discussion about whether or not the users should be informed back in December of 2015?
Senator, in retrospect, I think we clearly view it as a mistake that we didn't inform people, and we did that based on false information that we thought that the case was closed and that the data had been deleted.
So there was a decision made on that basis not to inform the users. Is that correct?
That's my understanding, yes.
Okay. And
but I, in retrospect, I think that was a mistake. And knowing what we know now, we should have handled a lot of things here differently.
And you know what? You still know things and you're not handling it different because it's not convenient for you, because this is how you make your money. So listen, I only know so much when it comes to the space of, you know, coding JavaScript. Just kidding. I don't even code. But I thought we'd bring in a true, not just a social media giant, but someone who understands all things computers, computer scientist, and the Vanishing App author, who is the creator and founder of an app that is all about your privacy. It's called the Vanishing App. Ihima Ukpo, who is incredible because he also went to UCLA, if I may say so myself. That's my Bruin moment. Ihima, good morning, and thank you so much for joining us here in-house.
Hi, hello. Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. So here's the deal. We did not know. One of the big questions that came out of the Senate hearings is that after you log off of Facebook, you're still getting tracked. So how does this whole thing work? Because we thought, wait a second, my information is my information, my privacy. But there is no such thing as privacy, is there, with Facebook?
Not completely. We don't know. See, the thing is, we volunteer so much information about ourselves, and it goes all the way down into the servers and systems. It's processed, analyzed, used for AI models. So the rabbit hole goes deep.
The rabbit hole does go very deep. I mean, our understanding is, for example, Facebook tracks users on other sites and apps as well, and that it supposedly collects your so-called biometric facial data without users' explicit opt-in consent, and that helps video game companies target high-value players who are likely, you know, to spend in these in-app purchases.
Yes, that is one application. Another one that's a little bit more troublesome, perhaps. Who knows where else it may go? It may be used also to identify you. You know, like say for example, like you know, you're at a station or something like that. It could go into government hands. We don't know how far this will go. That's a problem. To say that, I mean, well, the biometrics for the purchases, yes, that's a very benign application, but there could be something even a little bit worse than that.
Well, let's talk about Cambridge Analytica, for example. So you understand it to be.
Yes. So the Cambridge Analytica story, so what had happened was Cambridge Analytica is a group based out in the UK, and what they were doing with these profiles are basically aggregating them to basically make a model, develop a campaign for Trump and for Brexit. But this was against the users were not told of this. Looks like Facebook was not notified of this as well. So it was a bit of an overreach based on the setup that they had. So that's what happened here. So a bunch of data was grabbed, amalgamated, and used for something that no one was told about.
You know, you so sound like a computer scientist, by the way. You're funny. It's okay. You can raise your voice. You can be excited about this. Just kidding.
Oh, well, sorry.
No, I love it. Ihibu Ugbo, tell me something.
Yes.
How can we keep any privacy at this point? Is that even a possibility?
Yes, it is a possibility, and that's part of the reason why I wrote my app, Vanishing App. The purpose of this application is actually to control a specific set of data, specifically your personally identifiable information, such as your home phone number, your home address, that sort of a thing. So it can be done.
So then if I Google my name, of course, a number of things come up as a, someone who works in media. But a lot of people think that, well, but I'm not in the public eye. There's no information about me. Oh, no. There are a lot of ways of finding you, and there's a lot of stuff online. So when we come back, Ihimu is going to share one pathway that is an important way of how you can maintain some privacy online, especially if you have concerns, safety concerns. So when we come back, Ihimu Ugbo, computer scientist, helping us understand how to stay safe, how to stay private online. Sunday morning with Elizabeth Espinosa, KFI AM 640.
Falling too fast to prepare for this. Tripping in the world could be dangerous. Everybody circling as vultures. Negative, nepotist. Everybody waiting for the fall of man. Everybody praying for the end of time.
KFI AM 640, Sunday morning with Elizabeth Espinosa. Did you know that Facebook can learn almost anything about you by using artificial intelligence to analyze your behavior? And that knowledge, as you may suspect, turns out to be perfect for both advertising and for propaganda. So the question is, will Facebook ever prevent itself from learning people's political views or other sensitive facts about you, right? And how are they going to use that information? And every time you log on, they are still tracking you, even when you log off. It's stuff that we learned after, he was Mark Zuckerberg, the founder, 33 years old, billionaire, grilled for hours and hours, 2 days in a row, I believe it was, by Congress. And so we thought we'd bring in a computer scientist, someone really smart that understands all this and helps us with our own privacy, because you have the option. You have the option to keep your stuff private. And it goes on to a larger question, right? The fact that if you Google your name, and even if you're not a public person, there's a lot of information about you already online. And you're like, how is that possible? It's there. Trust me. Ihimu Ugbo, thank you so much for joining us in-house to talk about this. When we talk about the Cambridge Analytica scandal, it makes us realize that, wow, what you do is tracked by Big Brother all the time. So you created your own app, which is incredible, right? Like the fact that you could create that much code and all that understanding. And so what is it called?
The name of the app is called Vanishing App.
Okay. And what does it do?
So specifically what Vanishing App is designed to do is that it's designed to remove your personal information from people's search engines, such as whitepages.com and spokio.com. That's what it's designed to do.
And Spokio and White Pages online, for those who aren't online all the time, what do those do?
These are people search engines. So think of it literally like, I remember back in the day when you had a White Pages listing where you can whip it out, look for somebody by their first and last name and get their phone number and so on and so forth. So that's what these sites do, but except the information that they provide is even a little bit more in-depth. It's not just, your home phone number, it's also your home address. And in certain situations, it's who your relatives are, and even in some other cases, the value of the homes in your neighborhood as well.
It's incredible how much information is at the tip of your fingers. So then when you Googled yourself a long time ago, you said, whoa, wait a second, I'm not on TV, what's happening?
Yeah, it was quite a bit frightening. And also, it also made me also quite concerned as well, because I have a younger sister who had a stalker for a while. Mm. And, you know, we have very unique names, so it would be very easy for somebody like, you know, or a stalker to, you know, quickly find her. Right. So I wrote this app to basically...
What a good brother.
Thanks. I try. So I wrote this app basically to make it easy for anyone to basically take the same steps that I did to remove the information from these sites.
Okay, so you download the app. It's called the Vanishing App?
Yes, just Vanishing App, yes.
Correct. Vanishing App, okay. And it's on every platform?
Yes, so we currently support Android and iOS.
Okay, and how does it work? Is it hard? Because a lot of people, I think part of the issue with the apps too, say my parents, they'd say like, oh, I don't know how to do that. Like, what do I do once I download an app, right?
No, yeah. It can be a bit of a shakeup. Actually, Vanishing App is actually quite simple. Once you download the application, it'll ask for a few pieces of information. Nothing too terribly bad. It'll ask for, you know, first and last name, the city and state where you live, just enough to find you on these sites. Then from there, the application will walk you through the process of opting out of each of these sites.
So then once you do this and you've removed a part of your story online, what are your thoughts on continuing to be a user on these social media platforms like the social media giant Facebook?
Well, I think now from what has happened recently, we've learned to be a lot more, you have to be more careful about what we volunteer. And also we have to monitor more carefully, more vigilantly what is happening with our information. So for example, kind of running back a bit to my site, the application actually has a reminder once every month to say, hey, go back and take a look again and make sure that your information is still gone. So now this is a game of vigilance now.
It's a game of vigilance, I see. Because when I log on, and even if I go ahead and Google something, I'm trying to buy, let's just say, an outdoor swing, I notice all of a sudden I get a ton of commercials and ads, and I'm like, I'm good. Like, I don't need this. I bought one. I'm over it, right? So how do we get around that? I mean, I feel like we're stuck. I mean, we're all focusing on Facebook because they're the market leader, but the truth is, you know, other apps and other, not apps, but other, you know, platforms are doing the same thing. Brian.
Yes. One tip to kind of, I guess, help mitigate this a bit, if you're concerned about people tracking what it is that you shop for, you know, that sort of a thing, will be to, you can do one of two things. You can either A, erase all your cookies, your browser cookies, that is. Pretty much any modern browser offers that option where you can delete cookies as well as disable JavaScript so people can monitor you less. The other thing that you can think of, or another thing that you can use, rather, is either like a VPN, if you want to come in from a different point, a different IP address, or you can even enable private browsing on your browser.
Private browsing. That is a lot of computer talk. Wow. We are going to definitely podcast this, by the way. And we are going to, I'll tweet out, in fact, I'll Instagram out some of those pointers so that you know what to do. And here's the other thing. I always remind people, if you don't know how to do this, that's okay. You're not supposed to know everything, right? It's like if you have a heart problem, you don't have to be the cardiologist. Go to someone. I mean, do you actually do consulting?
I do a bit. I mean, if you reach out, I'm on Twitter, not quite too much on it. But you can always check out Vanishing App and as well as drop us a line as well over there. And
I see.
And ask, feel free to ask any questions.
What is your Twitter and what is your Instagram and all of this so people can reach out to you?
Certainly. Well, my Twitter is simple. It's Ihimu Ukpo. So you can find me there.
Let's spell that Ihimu Ukpo. You say that as if it's a relative. It's not John Smith.
So sorry. First name is spelled Ihimu. Last name is Ukpo. You can find me on Instagram there as well.
Okay. So same Ihimu Ukpo. Okay. I will again Instagram that out and tag you there. As we move forward, what do you think is next for Facebook? I mean, as a computer scientist, I mean, you've worked with a number of different companies that do a lot of stuff with artificial intelligence. You know, what do you think is next in terms of them actually doing something real to protect the privacy of its users? What else can you do? I mean, isn't that the core of how they're a billion-dollar business?
It is indeed a large part of the business, indeed. In terms of the future, I think after, you know, we've got some better safeguards and some other things coming into place well for them, I wouldn't be surprised if they actually branch off and do something else. I know that they also do some stuff with virtual reality and Oculus and things like that. So they have their fingers in many different pies.
Yeah.
So they may actually just kind of branch out and see.
I mean, the optics, the fact that they can use your biometric optics, is that right? I mean, your face and you, it's the world is changing so quickly.
It is indeed.
What do we not know that you know as a computer scientist that people have no idea that's coming next? What's the big thing, Ihimo?
That's an interesting question.
That's what I do. Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm known for that.
Well, I think a big drive right now is in terms of, well, the use of artificial intelligence and machine learning models to learn other things. I know that there are some efforts right now to use that same AI technology that can be used to predict, you know, what it is you're going to buy or who it is you're going to vote for, to scientific applications like, you know, will you get cancer or, you know, how that. So there's a change in the use of artificial intelligence for something a little bit more benign for society. So I think that's the direction of tomorrow for at least the next few years. But that's my opinion, though.
Well, let's talk about artificial intelligence for just one last second here before we go to break. Because whoever comes up with the app, Ihimo, hint, hint, to prevent heartbreak, you got my number. That's it. That's it. I'm signing up. I mean, I'll invest for that one. I'll be an angel investor. That'd be great, right? Something to get rid of your heartbreak quickly. I'm not saying I'm in the heartbreak mode now, but I think about these things. I'm like, how are we going to deal? I mean, artificial intelligence, right? Okay, well, what about, you know, how does artificial intelligence, well, how will it creep into, like, emotional intelligence? I don't know, think it will ever.
Well,
see, that's why we still need humans. That's why we still need humans. We still need Ihimo. Ihimo Ukpo, thank you so much. So it's at Ihimo Ukpo, and the app online, iTunes and every other store is
Vanishing App.
Vanishing App. Okay, vanishingapp.com. Thank you so much. We're going to go ahead and post all that information, put it on our page, KFIAM640.com. And Sunday morning with Elizabeth Espinosa, KFIAM640. Coachella, Beyonce, KFI AM 640, Sunday morning with Elizabeth Espinosa. I'm sure everyone you know is like posting pictures. I'm at Coachella. Look at me, Mom. Look how cool I am. Okay, so number one, I don't know. It's a desert. You're out there walking around in different stages. It's dusty. I got allergies personally. And then I hear there are a lot of drugs. Call me a grandma. There it is. But more importantly, did you know? Did you know? Your Coachella money is going to a right-wing billionaire, yeah, who funded anti-LGBT and anti-marijuana causes. That's a little weird, isn't it? That's a little ironic when you think about the crowd that's out there and the performers. Yeah, beyond bizarre. And courtesy our fill-in producer today, Curtis. Did you like that courtesy,
yeah,
Curtis?
Yeah,
wow, that was a little
cute.
Crazy.
Never heard that before.
He's like, never. I mean, that's kind of crazy, right, Curtis? The fact that this guy, so I guess his name is Anschutz.
Phil Anschutz. He's also, so some people might recognize that name because he used to be a partial owner of the Lakers. He's with AEG and stuff like that. So
yeah, he owns a conglomerate.
Money coming out of everywhere. But yeah, he's
everywhere.
He's got some very interesting donations and people he supports, some like birther. You know, he's some of the birther conspirators and stuff like that.
Isn't that crazy?
He likes to yell fake news now all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Big surprise there. But
I know.
Yeah, he's not a great person from what I see. I don't know. I don't, like, Coachella's not even that exciting for me anymore. But.
No, you're like, you know. Yeah, I mean, but this is what's crazy. So, like, a 2016 report on America's, quote, enemies of equality is often cited as blowing the lid off Coachella. Again, this guy, Philip, you know. Anschutz. So he's the owner of the entertainment conglomerate AEG. So, you know, AEG is in everything, though. So how do you get away from that? That's the hard part.
Yeah. I don't. You can't. Well, I mean, I'm a huge Laker fan, too. So I've supported them before. So some of my money goes to that guy, unfortunately. I don't like to think about it, but
it's tough, though, because if you really think about it, everything you do in life, there's got to be someone or something that's affiliated to something that you're not a fan of. But there it is. So it's a little bizarre, but hey, you got to give the guy credit. He knows how to make money, and he is banking his way to the top. What are tickets now? Something ridiculous, like the cheapest for $400?
It's like $400 for a weekend, and you have to buy that like 6 or 7 months ahead of time. You got to like wake up at midnight and
that's ridiculous.
Fight all these other people for these tickets.
No, it's a little silly.
It's all windy over there. It's gross.
Not worth it.
Sand everywhere. I don't,
right?
I'm not a fan.
Yeah, I'm not a fan either. I hate to say it. But I'll tell you what is important, that today is Earth Day. Did you know that? Today's Earth Day. And there are a lot of things that we need to do to actually, you know, take care of Mother Earth. So have you decided what you're going to do today, Curtis?
I didn't know it was Earth Day.
You didn't know that?
No.
Yes.
What a great working in the news. So I was like, oh, what? For me, it's Sunday.
Oh, my gosh. You're too funny.
I will not waste any paper when I wash my hands today.
Good. I like it.
But I'm not going to use the gross air sanitizers either. Because have you seen that story? The air sanitizers actually blow. They're really gross. When they look at that it they under a microscope.
Yeah. Under the light,
I'll wipe it on my pants or something.
It goes up to your face and you're like, great. All the germs aren't on my hands. Now they're up my nose. And then I wonder why I get sick. Oh, that's funny. Well, we've got the calendar section we want to get to now. Here we go. Take it away. If we can play the music. No? All right. There it is. All right. Kasten Kantsteiner. Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Owner of the Art Theater Long Beach. Tell us about Earth Day Weekend Film Festival.
Well, we are a local movie theater in Long Beach, and we thought we should celebrate Earth Day because, hey, we just found out that there's some people that don't know that it's Earth Day, so right. We want to bring a little bit more awareness to the fact that there are really things going on that anybody can do to, you know, kind of make this place a better world. And, you know, why not just watch a film and be educated? What is going on? You know, what is ocean pollution? How much plastics are we eating in our fish? And my pet peeve, straws. Did you guys know that we waste 500 million straws every single day in the United States? Did
really?
You know that? Yes.
I've never heard that. So
yeah,
the straws are my enemy?
Straws are your enemy. Don't use straws anymore. Go to a restaurant and say, no straws. Thank you very much. I'm going to drink my water without a straw.
Now
like,
that's...
who came up with that anyway? Like, who?
Yeah.
Do you drink your water with a straw when you go home at night? No.
No.
You drink it out of a glass. So why do we have a straw in our iced tea? Why do we have a straw in our water? Why do we have a straw in our margarita? We can just drink it from the glass. And
right.
That is my challenge to all of you. So we are doing this at the Art Theater. We have a bunch of films there at the theater. And
I love
it. We actually tag teamed with Terry Henry from Dine LBC, amazing woman that actually jumped on the challenge. And she runs this whole restaurant show in the fall. And we're trying to get all restaurants in Long Beach on board. And we actually have a couple of them at the Art Theater today. They're actually speaking out for this challenge. There's John Sangmeister from Gladstone's, and that's not like a small restaurant. I mean, that's a bigger chain.
Love that place.
And they committed, and they said, you know what, we're not doing this auto strawing anymore. And then there's
So Kasten, it's hashtag No Straw Long Beach, right? So that's the initiative.
Hashtag No Straw
to get everybody to, you know, dump your straw. Thank you so much, Kasten, and happy Earth Day to you. And there
Thank
are a lot
you.
Of things
Thank
that
you guys.
You're welcome. A lot of things that we need to do to save Mother Earth. You know that Earth Day, by the way, turns 48 today. So there you go, Curtis. Can't believe you did.
I have actually been helping then because I'm weird and never use straws at restaurants.
I didn't want to say that, but you said it first. Okay, fine.
I know it's weird. I trust them to wash the cups, I guess, but I don't like using straws. So like I'm that person that takes it out and just like
That's interesting. Yeah. You just put it in the trash and it goes right to the ocean. That's nice, Curtis.
That part's not really saving the earth, I guess. You want never
I'm just
mind.
Kidding.
It's cool.
Curtis is like, thanks, I'm going home. Curtis, by the way, is filling in for producer Brent, who decided to just abandon us today. Whatever. But they do say, by the way, the plastic problem is even worse than we thought, which is really terrible. And that really kind of bums me out. So we have to do something. We got to care. Also, the 2018 Breath of Life Awards is happening. That is going to be on Friday, April 27th, if you're interested. It's recognizes individuals, corporations, and civic leaders for their successful leadership in supporting clean air and healthy lungs. And, you know, there are a number of events, by the way, today. If you just go out, I think it's like Heal the Bay does some stuff, too, for, you know, today being, you know, Earth Day. And I wanted to also just end with a real tribute, and I wanted to take a moment to recognize Barbara Bush. Incredible. 92 years of just what a legacy. It is a life that was so well lived and defined by what she always talked about. She talked about what we contribute, how we love, and who we become. And she was not just a loyal wife of like one president and mother of another, but, you know, as they called her, the enforcer, affectionately. I love the fact that she lived by very simple rules, and that was treat everyone equally, don't look down on anyone, use your voice for good, and read all the great books. So let's try to do that, and have yourself an incredible, incredible Sunday. Be good to Mother Earth. We'll see you here back next Sunday. Jesus Christ Show is next. And Curtis, thank you for staying with us today.
Yeah, no problem.
All right.
I'm here all day. So.
All right, you'll be here. Try the
This field. Is the highlight of my morning.
You're the sweetest. Thank you so much. You're awesome. All right, guys, have an incredible day. God bless you. And we'll see you next week, Sunday morning with Elizabeth Espinosa, KFI AM 640.